I've called this a recipe for a rainbow cake. And it could be a little bit flippant, but it's all right. So it's not a fruit cake, and it's not a hot crust bun, and it's not a crumble cake. It's a rainbow cake. Now, there's one person I don't want you to let know what I had to speak about today. That's my husband. Anyhow, I do have a recipe for being a good woman and a good wife, but the cake is rather a flop. But anyhow, now, I guess you expected I would take Proverbs 31 and verses 10 to 31. Well, I've got a surprise, because I really didn't realise that I was meant to do that. And I thought in the back of my mind, I should do that. That's where the model woman is. And I thought, no, I won't. She makes me so mad. And I didn't check up with anybody because I was frightened what they might tell me. So, well, anyhow, let's go really fast, and we'll just have a quick look at those few verses there just to be legit. Okay? And then we'll do what I wanted to do. Okay. Well, this woman, if you look in verses from 10 to 31, you'll find out, first of all, that she's valuable, really valuable. This is Proverbs 31 and verses 10 to 31. And she's trustworthy. These are magnificent characteristics. And in verse 13, she works with eager hands. Eager hands, wow. She's industrious. Verse 15, she gets up while it's still dark, tireless. Well, I'd get up too if I was going to feed the servants, wouldn't you? Anyhow, she gets up early. She considers a field and buys it. She's intelligent. And out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's wealthy. And she got more vigorous work there in verse 17. And then in 18, she sees her trading is profitable. She's economic. And her lamp does not go out at night. She's sleepless. She's marvellous. In verse 19 we find she's a seamstress. Well, I'm just a stressed miss, but anyhow. Then in verse 20 she opens her arms to the poor. She's hospitable and generous. Well, she's marvellous. There's no doubt about it. And 24, she's thrifty. And in 25, she's strong. And what's more, she's got a good sense of humour. And she's dignified. And then she's wise in 26. She's diligent in 27. And she's appreciated. Eat your heart out. Verse 28. And then in verse 30, well, she's beautiful. She's praiseworthy, though, because of her trust in God. And this is where my recipe actually is. She's beautiful because of her trust in God. Well, I don't relate to her very well. But anyhow, God did give me a recipe for being a good woman, a good wife, but it came from a different section. And actually, I've boiled it down. That's what you do when you're cooking sometimes. I've boiled it down to a rule for a satisfying living today and a recipe for successful living today. And my rule really comes from a lovely verse, and it ends up with this. The rule is contentment and the recipe is godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. So our rule is contentment and our recipe is going to be godliness. If you want to look about contentment, you could look in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, and this is what it says, very good for these days that we live in. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that's where our contentment is. It's not with the haves and the have-nots. It's because the Lord is with us and he'll never leave us. We could say we haven't got any money to love. Well, that's a trap, because that's not the point. Even wanting the money is loving it. So are you content today with who you are and what you have and where you are? Little women, this is young women, hasty to achieve perhaps all those goals that you've set, hasty to marry, be content. Good wives, it's us, anxious about our elastic budget, anxious about the children, and then anxious about being anxious. Well, be content. Good midwives. Oh, this is where I am. Sorry. This is midlife. Okay. Good midwives. Going grey, face cracking up, body packing up. Children going, gone. Well, be content. Now, I don't mean this in a bad way. Old wives' tales. This is our elderly ladies. Lonely, perhaps, left. Well, be content. Time to pray, time to listen, time to be still. Time to know God in a way that you never knew him before. What about our single-minded women? Our single ladies, home alone, hemmed in, perhaps at times because you're singled out. Not easy. Be content. Your single-mindedness for the Lord is your crowning glory, and I mean it. It sets you apart. God has great purposes for you. Mrs. Schaefer said this: at each stage of our lives there is something we can do which we could never do at any other stage. If your spirit is grateful and humble, then your tongue will not constantly grumble. It's a great thing. I wasn't content with my grey hair 2 years ago, and ended up purple hair. I didn't read the instructions. Purple hair and a red face. Anyhow, Charles Dickens said this: cheerfulness and contentment are great beautifiers and are famous preservers of youthful looks. Contentment is great gain. So, a rule for a satisfying life today: be content. Let's move into our recipe: godliness. Be godly. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness is from here to eternity. What bigger gain is that? God in you, you belonging to God, God your Father, you his child. There's a Chinese saying, and this is it: every journey begins with the first step. Actually, Florence Nightingale said much the same thing. And as we go through our recipe, we'll go through step by step, and I'll tell you where we're going to look, but you'll find that the very first ingredient is faith. And even going along with all the other ingredients in this recipe is faith. Our business is not to remake ourselves, but to make the absolute best of what God made. How? By faith in him, and through faith each step of the way throughout our lives. Now, our recipe can be found in the best recipe book, the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 to 11. And you'll see as we go through this why it just seemed like a recipe. Okay. Now, when Peter was writing this epistle, he was waiting for martyrdom. So who better to give us a recipe for satisfying living and successful living than him? He can really relate to us, and we can feel that his words were sent right to us, whatever our martyrdom might seem to be at the moment, whatever is really tough. So he writes to us, to Christians, to encourage us what? To stay close to God and his word. And that's paramount in whatever life dishes up. Close to God and close to his word. In fact, this passage, verse 3, begins with the greatest news of all. This is it. God makes available his power in us to advance us in the Christian life. His power is adequate for all circumstances, no retreat. This is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 to 11. No retreat and no defeat. We'll weather the weather, whatever the weather, whether we like it or not, we will. So we realise as we go through that all these items in this recipe are God-given. They're not fabricated by us. No way. We are not able by ourselves. And they're not found anywhere else but in the Lord. Only people who love the Lord can really live life successfully. Now, you like me might be able to point at lots of other people who are around us who seem to be living successfully without God. They are wonderful people. But the biggest test of living successfully is dying successfully. Okay? I didn't dye my hair successfully, but I do know how to die successfully. Through trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, my life will be eternal. And when death comes, I will die successfully because it's the door into life. Life wasn't meant to be easy, that's true. But it's wonderful to know that in whatever's happening with you today, it's held in God's hands. And I thought this was a little bit like the oven temperature. And so just remember, God has control of the heat in the oven. Whatever the heat in your oven today is, He has promised He will not allow it to become too hot. Now you might feel that you're being sizzled and burnt to a frizzle, but He will not allow it to become too hot. He will help us stand up in that hot oven. 1 Corinthians 10:13, He knows our load limit. Let's look at a few things just quickly, and these are very practical, things that make the oven hot. What about hardships? Well, some hardships are small and niggly, and some are huge and nasty. Some are really big. But in our everyday world, there's going to be heaps of little things. Now, the big things are big. They're too big, perhaps, for me to just whip through at the moment. But the little things, interruptions and dishes, phone calls and dishes, weeds and dishes, traffic jams and dishes, queues, I always join the wrong one. There's always all these things, aren't they, which really make the oven hot. Well, how do we remain serene, unpanicked and unruffled? Well, much of our panic, and this is where mine comes, and I don't know about you, is I have unreal expectations about what I can do. Hand over the day to God's control. And if the interruptions come, accept them as part of His day for you, His plan for you. Like the oyster, you know, the little sand gets under there and grits, and what does the oyster do? Puts out a little filmy fluid, and that grit becomes a pearl. That phone call where you feel like saying, "Oh, no," might be the most important phone call of the day. You'll end up a pearl. No pain, no gain. And besides, if the oyster didn't make a pearl, you know what it becomes? Part of the soup. So, okay. How to keep the oven cool. Now, this is very important. Allow for margins of error. I never do. Allow for those things that are going to, you know, come in right at the last minute, and pray. Put things into perspective. What's the very worst thing that could happen? And then pray. Think ahead, take stock and take action, and delegate. Pray. Humour helps. You know what, I told the kids at Scripture that when my hair was purple, that I was the purple people eater. So humour helps. And use your imagination. Think of something nice and pray. And be prepared. They suggest take a paperback with you to the bank queue. I haven't tried it yet, but pray. And take each day by day, each moment of the day. Don't race impatiently into the future, especially young ladies. Just take it day by day. And remember, there are other cakes in the oven. Do you think you've got it hotter than the rest? I have many times, and I think I have. But anyhow, you haven't. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Remember that. You look into those serene faces. Encourage them. a right word at the right time can do wonders. Mark Twain said this, he could live for 2 months on one good compliment. Wow, he wasn't asking for much, was he? Well, we're going to consider economic hardships later in our recipe in a few minutes. What about relationships? Well, if there's hard times in your relationships today, make them work. Make them work to bring you closer to God and closer to one another. A few little practical things. Avoid finger pointing. If there's a problem and you're both working at it, don't point the finger and blame. Point the finger at the problem, not the other guy. Express yourself, communicate yourself. Don't imagine that he knows what you're thinking or that she does. They don't. They're not you. Accept the differences. They might feel angry. You might feel depressed. You'll have different reactions. And especially men and women, it makes it so difficult, doesn't it? Because they think so different. But anyhow, be flexible. Think of new circumstances as a challenge, a chance to grow, a chance to prove God in a way that you never knew. Be kind. Say nice things and mean it. And respect each other. Show appreciation, submission, and see their potential. Look at the good things. It helps. Don't wait for a crisis time to put all these things in the action. And keep yourself together and keep yourselves together. A right relationship with God will help you with that relationship that might be making the oven hot. The oven is at the correct temperature. Now, RSV. Okay, here we come. Faith is the first one. Here we go for successful living. Now, faith is the basic ingredients. I mentioned it already. We can't even be a Christian without faith. We cannot belong to God without it. And His Spirit is in us, but we let His Spirit have control of us by faith. We step aside and we let God work in us. Our initial step of faith when we accept the Lord Jesus as our personal Saviour makes us partakers of the divine nature. That is big. And our continuing faith means that we trust God for everything. Now, this could be likened to flour, the basis of your recipe. Now, self-raising flour, if you like. Now, verse 5, goodness. See how this is like a recipe? You add and you add and you add. Now, you add goodness. Goodness is practical holiness, moral excellence. This actually proves that the faith is real. When we became a Christian, we were made righteous in God's eyes. Now with goodness, we show righteousness to those men around them and ladies. And this could be the eggs. I read in the Reader's Digest that eggs have all the vitamins except vitamin C. Now that's incredible, isn't it? Anyhow, that eggs lighten, bind and enrich the cake. So there we've got goodness. Now you add in knowledge. Now this is very important to this cake because with this you expand. We all want to expand, yes? Okay. This is growing in the Christian life, knowledge, and it will help your expansion. Very important. Right motivation has to be backed up by right knowledge. You've got to know where you stand. And right knowledge on God's will and His standards. And God's Holy Spirit will open our understanding as we study His Word. Now, verse 6, you've got to add self-control. Now, this is mastering desires and passions. And it's controlling everything in our lives and keeping it in balance. And it definitely includes the bank balance, which we'll have a look in a moment. Now, this could be likened to your measuring cup. Now, it's making everything at the right level. And within the right limits, obedience to God's word will help you in this each step of the way. Now, in our hard economic climate, it definitely brings hardship into the homes, all of us. So balancing your budget isn't easy. It takes self-control. Pray for it. Now, if you don't exercise self-control, you'll pay for it. A budget is the best way to avoid the pitfall of having too much month left at the end of your money. Now, here's the budget. Okay, so develop a network, get involved with sharing your news, where the big bargains are, all right? And share even a bag of carrots. I've got a friend that does that regularly. Now, maintain a want list and learn to wait for that want list. It's not a need, and if you wait long enough, you'll forget you wanted it. I've tried. Okay, now that's very important. Now, stay away from parties. There Anyhow, the fellowship is good, but it could bring extra expense. One I went to, I said, I am only going to buy plastic cake scrapers, and I bought six. Well, you see, but anyhow, I gave them all away as Christmas presents. That's all right, but perhaps it's best to stay away. Now, set a limit on essential purchases and bargain purchases. Now, they really did their homework, didn't they, when they invented the supermarket. It's a real trap. So keep to your list. And if you spot a bargain, do this. Sleep on it, think on it, before you jump on it. Very good to remember. Now, do your homework, and for big items, check out the test reports, all right? And if you've got a friend who's tried it, ask her. Don't use buying as a tranquilizer. That's a real trap, isn't it? You feel bad. You think, oh, I knew. Yeah. Okay. Learn to say no. Number 8, burn all credit cards. Now, and number 9, get by with less, buy less. And you can. And waste not and want not. My boys are sick of hearing that, but they'll be hearing it for a long time as long as they live with me. Right. Now, sometimes there's something else you can use that will accomplish the very same purpose. I've proved it even this week. Now, live within God's provision for you. That's who's given it to you. Don't forget, that the control of this oven is God's. God's provision for you is there. Before you purchase, give God an opportunity to provide the item. That's wonderful. Proved it in Africa with Pharynx and lots of other things, and I'm proving it every day. Give God an opportunity to provide the item, and don't give in. Pray about every expenditure and accept God's direction. Now comes perseverance. Well, what could we look at this as? Well, I put it as the cooking time. Now, keep on keeping on. You might feel like jumping out of the oven, and a lot of us do. But while God's got you there, He's holding you, He's strengthening you. Look to Him for perseverance and hold on. Regardless of obstacles, trials or tragedy, don't forget this. It's not only your hold on Him, but as I said before, His hold on you. Don't give up. That's where your strength is in the Lord. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Job was very precious to me in the hardest time of my life. Very precious. And I just want to cry when I think about it. But though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. Stay on in there. And what will the result be? You will taste terrific. And you will look so good. And as well, you'll spring back when you're dented. You know? So that's really good, isn't it? Well, now we're nearly through. I found this, and this is good. Self-control is dealing with the pleasures of life. That's where you've got to use your self-control. Now, patience relates to dealing with the pressures of life. Now, enduring with people, that's where your long-suffering comes in. But it's all part of perseverance, and God is with you. God will help you. Godliness, now we come to godliness. This is really the sum of all the others, as we said. And it's made possible because of the Holy Spirit in us. Now that's got to make you feel that in this recipe, which is a little bit dicey, but anyhow, that the Holy Spirit in us, giving God in us the oil, the margarine or butter. Okay, very humbling, I think, to think of the Holy Spirit in us, isn't it? Very humbling, I find it. Now, verse 7, brotherly kindness. Here we come, affection for fellow believers. Now, use practical actions of kindness, and we'll end up seeking the welfare of others more than ourselves, and that's really great. Now, this has got to be the sugar. A little bit of sugar helps the medicine go down. Really does. Okay. brotherly kindness to that person who might be a little bit sugarless. Try a bit of yours. Now, love, a sacrificial love. The love of God, the Holy Spirit, is spread abroad in our hearts. Now, this is the fluid spread all over all these things too in our recipe, the milk, keeping it all together, holding together just right. Okay, if you kept on reading on that passage, you'd come and you'd find out what this recipe brings. In verse 8, it brings fruitfulness. In verse 9, it brings vision. And in verse 10 to 11, it brings security. This is successful living. These are the qualities of a good wife. These are the qualities of a good woman. Model wife? Well, we'll never be a model until we're in heaven. We'll be perfect there. But a good wife? Yes. And these qualities are produced by the Holy Spirit in us, giving us a gentle, quiet and beautiful spirit which never fades and can never be faked. I did write out a whole lot of statistics, but I didn't have time to tell you. But the amount of money that American women pay on a facelift, we would be much better with a facelift that will make the beauty that only God can bring into our lives. Being the beautiful person God meant us to be, well, well done. So godliness is the recipe and contentment the rule. Why a rainbow cake, you might ask? Well, because there's different colours in a rainbow cake, and it's the same with our lives, isn't it? Some dark and sad, some bright and sunny. But overall our lives there'll be a beautiful combination, and God is working that combination. He's working the harmonious delight, the mixture of it all. And he's bringing in us all that beauty. What is it? Christ-likeness. The mind of Christ, which is the attitudes of Christ, Christ in us. Well, well done, good and faithful Kate.